it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI in Boston joining us at 7:30. Can't wait for that. And he's obviously a former Patriots tight end, and he knows Mac Jones, I'm sure, very well. And what went down in New England, it started off so promising for Mac Jones. As a rookie quarterback, first round pick, I mean, he takes the team to the playoffs. It's pretty incredible, right? Well, since then, it's been kind of a dumpster fire everywhere he's been, whether that be in New England, whether that be in Jacksonville, and now in San Francisco, as he is starting in week two for the Niners in place of Brock Purdy. And how's it going to look, Niner fans? How are we feeling about Mac Jones starting on Sunday? I just want to gauge the temperature of everyone. I kind of threw this out to the people and to the guys. I was like, are we feeling optimistic? Are we feeling pessimistic? Or are we in wait-and-see mode? And I think most fans, most reasonable fans, are in wait-and-see mode. That being said, when we were talking about it yesterday, Sam, we got so many calls, and I know you were screening them in the back. A lot of people were optimistic about him. Did that kind of surprise you, the optimism around Mac Jones?
I mean, I'm optimistic for them this weekend, only because I do think that this is an opponent that the Niners should have no trouble with, regardless of who their starting quarterback is. I mean, if it was Carter Bradley, maybe that's a little bit different, and thank God that that's not happening. But, no, I can understand the optimism for this weekend, just because the matchup is that favorable for the Niners. The overall optimism, though, is the fact that people who have been paying attention to who Mac Jones is and what Mac Jones can do, and obviously there's, of course, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, being enamored with him. I think it's one of those situations where he's just, Niner fans are confident that the head coach has a quarterback that he feels very confident he can win football games with. Whereas in the past, Kyle's had some not great quarterbacks that he probably didn't feel that good about. You know, I'm talking about Brandon Allen. I'm talking about C.J. Beathard. I'm talking about Nick Mullins. Where
Josh Dobbs,
who might have been the best of those quarterbacks that I've mentioned here, which shows how low the bar has been. So, yeah, if all the backups that, you know, Kyle's had to work with, Mac Jones is on the higher end of that spectrum. I don't want to say he's the best because technically Brock was once one of those backups, so I don't want to muddy the waters there. But that's where I see the confidence from, is that when I see Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones on the sideline together, I don't get the same, like, oh, crap feeling when it's Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Allen, Kyle Shanahan and C.J. Beathard, Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer, who was a starter, not a backup, but he was a backup, and he also just was, you know, not good.
Stunk.
Horrible, as they would say.
Thank you. And remember, he was the Cleveland Browns quarterback once upon a time when Kyle Shanahan was the OC, and then they bring in Johnny Manziel, and this whole thing. Was it Mike Pettine, I think, was the head coach then?
Exactly. God. Of all these quarterbacks, again, it comes down to the fact that all the quarterbacks that Kyle has worked with, they're the ones that he can win games with, and then the ones that he can't win games with. I think you'd say that probably about any coach. Mac, I think, very much fits in the Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, I can win with this guy category. And that's where I think the optimism comes from.
Brought to you by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Well, you and I are feeling optimistic about Mac Jones. I wonder how the fans are. 888-957-9570. We'll go to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line in just a second. But this is what Greg Cosell had to say earlier in the week. And this is some really good stuff. We get him weekly, obviously, Willard and Dibbs. Excuse me.
That was an elite one right there.
It was a good one. But we get Greg Cosell, we get Brian Baldinger. We got the two best guys in the business when it comes to breaking down film. So we'll hear from Greg, we'll hear from Baldy. Just who is Mac Jones at this point? First, Greg Cosell and Willard and Dibbs.
I think in many ways he's stylistically similar to Purdy, other than the fact that he's not as good an athlete as Purdy. I think when you put him in the context of this offense, and that's all we can do because that's what he's going to be doing, he is a timing rhythm player. He can execute the kinds of throws that are asked to be made in this offense. Now, he obviously played last year and had some ups and some downs, which was to be expected. He was in a pretty dysfunctional situation. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to come out and be unbelievable and, wow, it's special. But the way in which he plays, and I think everybody was probably well aware when he came out in the draft that it seemed that Kyle liked him, because it's that style of quarterback. He's a timing rhythm player who gets the ball out, and that fits what Kyle wants.
And that's where I'm getting at too. I don't think, and I teased it, like, I think the 49ers can win big this Sunday. It's not because of Mac Jones. It's because of the defense. And I think the defense is going to put this offense in great field position throughout. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to make it very easy for him. He's going to simplify everything. Mac, do this. If this is your read, do it. If not, throw it away. Whatever. They're going to lean on Christian McCaffrey. They're going to lean on Brian Robinson, the running game, as you do in a Shanahan offense. And they're going to be opportunistic with some deep shots. I do think they're going to try to utilize this arm strength of Mac Jones a little bit here, whether it's with Kendrick Bourne, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, MVS is probably the only speedster on the team right now that could actually... I know, Carter, you're looking at me. He is a speedster, though. Like, he can take the top off of defense. Now,
he's too old.
He is, but can he catch the ball? That's all I care about. I know he can run past the defense. He did it with the Saints last year. Like, MVS had some deep bomb throws completed last year with Spencer Rattler. I know it sounds insane, but it happened. I saw it. So that could happen this Sunday. But ultimately, I'm looking at Robert Saleh in this defense and that being the reason why the 49ers come out on top, although the score might be able to indicate that, wow, 49ers, a huge day at the offense offensively. There's going to be some turnovers. They're going to make Spencer Rattler uncomfortable. And that's going to be the difference in the game for me, Sammy, as I'm looking at this matchup, is which one of these defenses can make the opposing quarterback more uncomfortable here? Because Spencer Rattler, as a starting quarterback in the NFL, has how many starts under his belt? Not that many. Mac Jones, a lot more. And I think at the end of this season, he might be having a potential, real quick, another opportunity elsewhere if he could right the ship through September.
Yeah, kind of be the next reclamation project of Kyle Shanahan. I think... as far as kind of how much we're going to see from Mac Jones, remember, Kyle Shanahan is not a guy who ideally wants to throw the football a lot. You look over the last few years, and the games that the Niners lose are the games where they throw the ball a lot. You know, I look at that number 30, you know, is 30 carries for the running back. There's also 30 passes for the quarterback. And, you know, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but the overall record for Kyle Shanahan is, when you're throwing the ball more than 30 times, you're probably not winning those games. And so I imagine, yeah, a big old dose of Christian McCaffrey. Brian Robinson Jr. is going to have to get very comfortable with this offense very fast this week. The fact that B-Rob played with Mac in Alabama, I like that familiarity complex there. Hopefully that makes things a little bit easier. Yeah, I think if you're the 49ers this week and the goal is just ground and pound, just grind that defense down as much as you can. This is a team that last week, Spadoni, they lost to the Cardinals at home 20-13, but they still held the Cardinals to 276 total yards. They 146 on the ground, though. So Saints did not do a whole lot of passing. The Cardinals didn't do a whole lot of passing, but they were able to have success on the ground. Part of that also is Kyler Murray being able to move around with his feet a little bit. Mac does not have that ability in the same way that Kyler or Brock has.
Faster 40 than Brock. Mac
again,
Jones.
Doesn't mean he's a better scrambler.
He's a faster 40. That's all.
Okay, again.
Do with that information what you will.
And I'm going to do very little with that information, as I will.
That's the reason I get pissed.
And that's the reason you need to just run the ball down their throat this Sunday at the Superdome. Quiet the crowd, shut them up, make it so we can actually do audibles at the line of scrimmage.
Did you watch the Thursday Night Football game last night?
I was watching bits and pieces of it.
Amazon Prime, the Packers, their defense just looks spectacular. Shocker.
They look like the class of the NFC right now.
I'll still give that to the Eagles, but they're definitely, they've played two games, so we'll see. But yeah, spoiler alert, Micah Parsons still very good.
Yeah, he looks like a generational player of this generation.
Oh, thank you.
One of the greatest players of this generation.
Listen, I don't know why that was such a hot take with our friend Mr. Shasky here. That it was I said he was one of the greatest players of his generation, which he's been in the league for what, 4 or 5 years now.
He's probably one of the best pass rushers of this decade, if not.
It's fine. But again, he looked incredible yesterday.
When I see him rush that ball.
Because if you just look at the box score, oh, he didn't have a sack, he didn't have this. I was like, yeah, but he literally was in Jaden Daniels' grill the entire game. Mm-hmm. I brought up that, though, because you brought up the running game. Something happened yesterday late in the game, and it sucked. It was a non-contact Achilles injury to the starting running back for the Washington Commanders, Austin Eckler. And this is a guy, obviously, that had a lot of wear and tear. He's been in the league for a while. He was with the Chargers for all those years, was a Washington Commander last season. He's 30 years old, Sammy. So just a year difference between him and McCaffrey. Listen, I'd be lying to you if I didn't think immediately of Christian McCaffrey when that happened. And I think if Niner fans were watching yesterday, they were like, there is a fear factor there that whenever you watch Christian going forward, you're just going to be thinking in the back of your mind like, he gets up slow. Oh, this is it. And you know, I was listening to Steiny and Goo yesterday, and Goo was kind of feeling that way too. He's like, I just have this fear factor whenever I watch him. But I think I am kind of leaning to where Steiny was. What was he was saying was basically like, yeah, I just can't do that as a fan, because if I do that as a fan, I won't be able to enjoy a game anymore. If I watch it through the lens of this guy's just going to get hurt every single time he goes out there, how could you enjoy anything? It's like watching Stephen Curry. It's just like, he fell. Oh my God. It's a season ending injury. Like I can't do that as a fan. So with that being said, like, yeah, you have to be careful with the touches, but a backup quarterback, you got to lean on the running game. So I'm expecting Christian McCaffrey to get the ball a lot. And if Christian himself is telling us, Sam, that he's healthy and ready to go, then who are we to say, you know what? We're not going to help you out, Christian. Has Christian McCaffrey not earned the right to tell Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, like, give me the ball as much as I need it? He's earned that right. He's been in the league for how long now? He's been all pro. He's been offensive player of the year, right?
I mean, I guess the initial answer you could say is yes. He does have that right to say, if I'm good to go, then you should believe him. Because, you know, who knows his body better than him? He's had it his entire life. The other Hot side pitch. Of that coin is he one of those guys who's going to, the little voice in the back of his head is saying, yeah, dude, this thing's going to pop soon. You better ease up. And he's just one of those guys who's just like, shut up, little voice in the back of my head. I'm Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to go out and ball no matter what my body tells me. Has he earned the right to make the call with his health? Yes. Is he one of those guys who is going to be genuinely honest about his health? I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no on that one. I honestly don't know. But we talked to Joe Person earlier this week. He covered the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers for many years. We talked to him to learn about Eddie Pinheiro, the Niners' new kicker. And you asked a great question about Christian McCaffrey in terms of just what are you seeing from him. And Person had a couple things. I think we have the sound available. I
certainly do.
What he said about, you know, what he's reading now being similar to what happened when he was in Carolina. Here's what Person said in regards to that.
Reading the headlines and listening to folks like you guys, it's repeating what the storylines from here. And he had a great start to his career here. I mean, fantastic. And was doing things that no one other than Roger Craig had done in terms of catching and running the football. But then the injury started creeping up. And, you know, you started hearing there was some split in the draft room when they took him. The night of the draft, there were people in the organization who thought they might be taking Leonard Fournette. And it was the classic case of big power back, you know, Derrick Henry type back with Fournette versus the shifty athlete, smaller dude. And yeah, they made the right choice. I mean, Christian McCaffrey gave them some incredible years.
So again, it's a similar arc there where the talent is recognized, you can't pass it up, but then the injuries take over. And history is kind of repeating itself here. McCaffrey came here, the talent was undeniable, you rode how good he is, and then the injuries are popping up again. So this might just be the Christian McCaffrey cycle that we're, you know, doomed to have to be a part of here. And yeah, it to me, and the fact that he gets testy about, you know, people questioning him working too hard, it's almost like he just kind of knows that it's inevitable. At some point, it's going to pop. The Achilles is going to go out, and that's going to be it. And it's almost like his mindset is, it's going to happen eventually. Might as well just full send it until it does.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app. Coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We are previewing Niners-Saints Week 2 matchup in New Orleans, 10 a.m. this Sunday. Mac Jones starting. It looks like Brock Purdy is going to be out for at minimum 2 weeks, could be up to five, according to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with a turf toe variant injury. But we're talking about the running game right now and Christian McCaffrey and Joe Person, who covered Christian when he was a
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina Panther joined us earlier in the week because we obviously had the news of Jake Moody being waived. Eddie Pinheiro, now the new kicker who kicked the last few seasons in Carolina pretty well, by the way. And that's another storyline in this game. If it is a close one, how confident are we in Eddie Pinheiro in getting it done? Thankfully, it is in a dome, Sam, so wind will not be a factor. But here's what
just don't move around too much behind the goalposts.
Thank you. What did Joe Person have to say in regards to CMC? And, you know, when he was injured, well, he would get a little bit testy and touchy about the injuries that would go occur over in Carolina. Take a listen to this. Very interesting.
Yeah, I remember asking people and writing stories about are his training methods really, like, he pushes himself so hard, it would have been more beneficial for him to take a little more time off in the off season. And he would get very touchy, as I'm sure he still does, anytime his health, especially his training, came up, because he took great pride in it. As you guys know, he always sort of had his own regimen. Like, he wasn't really following the Panthers' regimen. It worked for him until it started not to work for him. And you never know. Was it a case where, and again, it isn't like he went out there to San Francisco and it's been bad. It's just you kind of, like, the injuries are kind of part of the thing, part of the package that you get when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey.
And that was Joe Person, who joined us earlier in the week, covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. And that one kind of, like, perked my ears up a little bit. So he trains really hard. We could all understand that. But when anyone brings up anything about it, he gets a little upset. Like,
so he's aware that if you're getting upset about that, means there's probably some truth to it.
Probably.
And maybe there's a level of just, you don't want to confront it, or there's a level of just like, yeah, I know.
Or it's a level of, what do you guys know about training? I'm a high-level athlete.
I'm the player, you're not.
You guys, yeah, what do you guys know? Mr. Joe Person, Mr. Spadoni, Mr. Lubman. Well, maybe not Mr. Lubman. Guy's jacked over here. You see it? YouTube channel.
He's not listening.
Look at those. But like, that's kind of what I'm getting at here, is like, CMC is like, what do you guys know about training? Like, stop. I know my body. You don't. Let me figure it out. That being said, if I'm a reporter like Joe Person, I was like, well, dude, like, missing all these games. So clearly something's wrong, right? Right? And maybe Christian just doesn't want to say, yeah, maybe I'm just unlucky. Maybe, and you never want to use this term, and athletes hate saying it, injury prone. Because they'll never say, I'm injury prone, Sam. They'll just say, man, I just, you know, it was unfortunate. It sucks. It happened.
It's part of the game.
But we might look back on Christian McCaffrey and say, wow, he had all these amazing seasons, all these all-pro NFL offense player of the year. But baked into that, maybe a little injury prone, which sucks. And I'm hoping he stays healthy this week and continues to stay healthy going forward. But to sit here and act like that, you know, that play last night, is that's why we're talking about it. When Austin Eckler has the Achilles injury, non-contact, he's 30 years old, a lot of wear and tear. You know, just, it got me spooked a little bit. Not going to lie.
No, and again, McCaffrey's 29, going in age 30 now. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. That is not also, don't forget, he also did a lot of work when he was at Stanford as well. Listen, there's a reason why there's not a lot of running backs in the league who are, you know, McCaffrey's age. Like, guys like McCaffrey, like Saquon, Derrick Henry, yeah, those guys are playing now, but those guys are exceptions, not the rules. At some point, the wear and tear that comes with playing running back in the NFL is going to catch up to you. And when you mix in age on top of that, it's that's kind of comes one of those things like maybe it's just inevitable that the ending that we're careening to with Christian McCaffrey is that it, I don't want to say that it's going to happen, knock on wood. We don't have any wood in the studio, unfortunately, that this doesn't happen. But
isn't this table?
I feel like we're just, it's like a faux wood or something like that, wood. It just feels like the countdown is on to at some point that snap is going to come and the injury is going to happen and it's just going to be over. And to what Steiny said yesterday, you just can't think about that as a fan. You just have to put that aside because it will drive you crazy if your stomach does a backflip every time McCaffrey touches the ball. You can't do that to yourself for 16 more games this season. Just, I hate saying this. It sounds like such a just a dark and you know twisted thing to say, but I think you just gotta to grip it and rip it with McCaffrey and hope for the best while at the same time understanding that there is an inevitability that we might be heading to. And I hope I'm wrong. But, yeah, that's just kind of the lay of the land that I see right now.
We got Jermaine Wiggins coming up on the other side, host of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end, Super Bowl champion, and obviously covered Mac Jones when he was out there in Boston. So we'll get the lay of the land, the good, the bad, the ugly of Mac Jones next with Jermaine Wiggins, Sam Lumman, and for Joe Shasky, alongside myself, Joe Spadoni, and it's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. It's got a lot of good film from the NFL with the experience and obviously college. Tough guy who'll hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
Hey, I'm Ludman. I'm going to be at Freedman's Appliances this Saturday with Mark Grandy.
I think Freedman's has their fall clearance sales event coming up
a couple weeks from now, yeah.
I've been hearing the ads. Sam and I did that last year live from Freedman's Appliance. It's a great place to go. Check it out.
Jassy's, those live working vignettes, man, they hit hard.
Jassy still needs to buy himself an air fryer, which you can get out there too. The air fryer is undefeated, by the way.
How do you not have an air fryer in the year 2025?
It's so clutch, dude. I get like some drumsticks or some chicken thighs, bone in, 400 degrees. It's like what, like 25, 30 minutes?
Shut up.
Nice and crispy. Yeah. Get some Cajun seasoning on there. Speaking of Cajun, 49ers going to be down in New Orleans this weekend. A little Cajun spice action. And hopefully, Mac Jones is feeling spicy this Sunday because he's starting in place of Brock Purdy. Jermaine Wiggins is going to be talking about it in 12 minutes with us. Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky. Jermaine Wiggins, host of The Greg Hill Show, WEEI in Boston, obviously former tight end in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and knows about Mac Jones, who, again, started his career in New England.
So there you go. Again, you talk about Cajun at 8:30. Bobby Hebert is going to be joining us. Who's Bobby Hebert? He is the Saints pre-postgame host for 105.3 down our Odyssey sister station down in New Orleans. You know what his nickname was, Spinoni?
What?
The Cajun Cannon.
That's pretty sick.
No, it's also pretty cool. Actually, I'm looking up, you know, I did, you know, looking up Bobby Hebert and where he's been. He played in the USFL for a couple years, including 1 year in 1985. With the Oakland Invaders of the USFL. They went 13-4-1 that year. Went to the USFL championship game. This guy has played football in the Coliseum back in its heyday.
Wow.
I kind of want to ask him about what playing football in the Coliseum back in 1985 was like.
Absolutely. Bobby Hebert, former quarterback for the Saints, the Cajun Cannon, obviously pre- and post-game host for the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, WWL 105.3 Odyssey sister station down in Louisiana. All right. So we're talking all this about Mac Jones. We heard from Greg Cosell there. All right. Mac Jones is stylistically very similar to Purdy. But I think a lot of fans, as you mentioned, as Carter's mentioned, as a lot of people mentioned, the mobility concerns with Mac. And I know I kind of like, you know, just poked fun a little bit. I was like, well, he did run a faster 40 time. Technically, that's correct. But you're not running a 40-yard dash, you know, as a quarterback all the time, unless you're like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, what was his shuttle time compared to Brock's?
I actually have all of that right here.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, the, let's see, the 20-yard shuttle, this is the combine. Mac Jones ran a 4.39. Brock Purdy, 4.45.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, they're very similar.
And actually, Stonefoot Brock out here.
The biggest gap that is in Brock Purdy's favor, though, would be the 10-yard split, which was a 1.70 for Mac Jones, and a 155 for Brock. So it was 10 yards.
Okay. So Brock can get off to a faster start, scoot a little bit more than Mac, which makes sense because that is part of Brock Purdy's strengths, is when he uses his legs to extend plays.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Should Mac Jones's lack of mobility be concerning in this offense?
I'm always leery of making those kinds of judgments after one game, because how many snaps did they play together in the preseason? Together, five guys, probably none. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say they'll be great. They could have some issues again. All I'm saying is I'm never comfortable after week one making a definitive judgment about a player, a team, a unit. You would expect them to be better. Don't forget they've got a new left guard. You would expect them to be better. You know, it's a pretty good Saints defense in terms of personnel, so that could cause them some issues. But, you know, I would definitely expect them, you know, to – I didn't think this was Trent Williams' best game either.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't.
You know, he didn't play all preseason. You know, no matter – look, the guys – we all know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you still have to shake the rust off. I mean, this is the first time he played, and then you're not asking him to play 15 snaps to just get a feel. You're asking him to play – I mean, they ran, what, 72, 73 plays. They ran a lot of plays.
So that was Greg Cosell earlier in the week. He's saying he's not making any sweeping proclamations about whether or not this offensive line is cooked, because I think a lot of Niner fans watched that week one performance against Seattle and saw Brock Purdy running for his life and be like, oh my God, are we cooked this season with that offensive line? And I'm with Greg here. Like, we can't make any sweeping declarations after 1 week. And I know even after week two officially started yesterday and the Packers looked amazing, their defense looked awesome. And I think you mentioned a lot of people. I saw Bonte tweeting it like, hey, I think the Packers are officially in the championship conversation. And that might be true. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. So like they have some skins on the wall. They were a playoff team the last couple seasons, Sam. Like that makes sense. But for to have any sweeping declarations after 1 week about any part of the this team right now, I think would be a little bit foolish. But do you agree with that? Do you think that one game sample size was enough to be concerned about the offensive line heading into this week?
Well, because for this season, no, I think one game is not enough. But we also have more than one game of sample size to work with when we look at this offensive line. You know, we've seen Ben Bartsch for a while. We've seen Jake Brendel for a while. We know Dominic Pooney's good. We know Colt McKivitz got an extension earlier this week. We've seen enough of these guys that we kind of know that you can rely on Dominic Pooney inside. You know, Jake Brendel is more than capable of holding his own at center. Ben Bartsch, yeah, there's good moments, there's bad moments. He's probably middle of the pack when it comes to offensive linemen. I'm not a Colton McKivitz believer at all. The fact that the Niners threw a big old bag at him this week, I'm not gonna lie, that just seems silly to me. You know, I hate to just kind of be the Colton McKivitz hater right now, but I'm not a believer in him. And that leads us all to Trent Williams, who is the X factor of this offensive line. And that's the one where you talk about the one game sample size. I mean, Moose Johnson said it yesterday. Sometimes you just have a bad game. And maybe Trent just showed up and just had a bad day at the office. Lord knows I've had bad days at the office. You've had bad days at the office. Carter doesn't have bad days.
He's crushing Solo Dolo back
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So we've all had rough days at, you know, at work at times. And maybe that's just what Trent had. He's also 37 years old and plays what I consider to be the most demanding position in all of North American professional sports, and that is blindside left tackle. At some point, again, we talked about in the last segment how after a while, the longer you play this game, the wear and tear catches up with you, and age kind of does that thing that age does, which, you know, sucks. At some point, Trent Williams is going to stop being Trent Williams. Was week one a sign that we're beginning to get there? Or did he just have a bad day? That's where I'm going to take the Greg Cosell view and say, you know what? One game is not enough. If Trent struggles this week, though, yeah, then I think you can start to worry a little bit about the overall state of this offensive line, because he is the X factor on this offensive line. He is the difference between whether this offensive line has the push that we expect or doesn't.
Well, and let's see if he has the weapons, right? Because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Mac Jones needs the weapons. And if he has an offensive line blocking for him, that helps. But you need like multiple elements to, you know, have a cohesive offensive unit.
Just
because you have a good offensive line doesn't mean you're going to have a great day. because players got to make plays. And you don't have your best player. Your best offensive player last year was George Kittle. He's going to be out for the next four games. He's on IR with a hamstring injury. That sucks. Juwan Jennings, is he going to play this week? I don't know. Looks like he avoided any significant injury to that shoulder, but again,
he hasn't practiced this week.
He hasn't practiced, and he also hasn't practiced last month, basically. He's been out with that calf holding, and what, I don't know. He's been out.
He's been unavailable. Been
there you go. He's been unavailable. So step right up. You bring in Kendrick Bourne, again, another guy that hasn't been in training camp. We'll see how quickly he can get up to speed. He does have a relationship with Mac Jones in New England, so that does help. There is some rapport there, but again, that was a couple years ago. What have you done for me lately? You got Christian McCaffrey, you got Brian Robinson, but the running game, there wasn't a lot of open lanes, I felt like, last week. The mobility, I thought was fine overall for Christian, and it was a nice change of pace to have Brian Robinson with those 9 touches. I know he wasn't as fast and explosive as Jordan Mason. I'm not really concerned about that. I think Brian Robinson's just going to be just fine, but Christian McCaffrey is going to be a big part of this game plan, and I do think the Saints are going to try to do what Seattle tried to do last week, which was just try to dominate the run game, and let's see if Mac Jones can beat us throwing the ball. Speaking of that, in the lack of targets potentially for Mac Jones, is that going to be someplace where he struggles this week, Greg Cosell?
What is the relationship between a coach and the quarterback? You know, how many quarterbacks can go out there and in a sense just play regardless of coach, regardless of scheme, and just play? There's very few of those guys, even when you look back in the history of the game. It's always a combination of a coach, the approach that he takes with a quarterback, understanding his strengths, understanding his limitations, the people around him, the team around him, that all goes together. And Mac Jones is as much of a poster child for that as any quarterback, although most quarterbacks are. You know, everybody talked about J.J. McCarthy on Monday night. Well, what happened was those two touchdowns he threw in the second half were schemed plays. The primary receiver was open, and he delivered the ball to the primary receiver based on the schemed play call. So does that make J.J. McCarthy, oh my God, he was so special, or he executed a play call where the primary receiver was open? I mean, theoretically, any quarterback can do that. So you're hoping with Mac Jones that Kyle can dial it up, have a good feel for the defense, that the Saints defense, and that he can be an efficient player, but he needs team around him.
Exactly. I mean, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter, the greatest, or you can go down the bottom of the barrel. You know, it doesn't, every single quarterback needs playmakers around them to succeed. And I do think the reason why Josh Allen won the MVP over Lamar Jackson last year, even though that Lamar Jackson was first team all pro, was because the narrative around Josh Allen not having quote unquote significant playmakers around him. That's why he won over a guy that had Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. So that's why it matters in today's NFL. And that's why it's going to matter this week. That being said, I know Alvin Kamara is a good back and he's been pretty solid for a long time. Christian McCaffrey is still the best player on offense of both these teams. You still have that guy. And I do think we're talking about Christian McCaffrey in a way like he's completely washed. Did we not notice what he did last week? I mean, he had over 170 all-purpose yards. 140.
Still pretty good.
So this is,
no, he was.
We're acting like he was just some scrub last week.
No, it's because, again, there were you mentioned the running lanes, how he was getting kind of bottled up there. The mobility looked good later on in the second half. The first half, he looked like he was dragging a little bit, I would say. He was running with a parachute behind his back. You know, he was still running fast, but not Christian McCaffrey fast. You know, Kyle Shanahan, he loves to do those stretch runs. And, you know, a couple years ago, McCaffrey was really good at getting around the edge of those runs and breaking off a big run there. There were times this past week where he really kind of struggled to turn around the side and get upfield. Now, part of that could have been on what the Seahawks were doing. Mike McDonald, very defensive-minded coach. Division games are different in Seattle opening week. There's a lot of factors there that would could be a reason as to why McCaffrey at the start of the game did not look like his superhuman self. Hopefully all those issues are behind him. Now, if we get the McCaffrey that we saw in the second half against the Seahawks all day this Sunday against the Saints, yeah, this game will be over by the fourth quarter.
We got Jermaine Wiggins joining us here momentarily. Greg Hill Show, WEEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end, and obviously a Super Bowl champion with the team, knows the Patriots inside and out. And Mac Jones started his career in New England. And what are the 49ers now getting in this quarterback this week, making his first start as a San Francisco 49er in place of Brock Purdy? All right, we heard from Greg Cosell, who obviously studies all the film. Here's what Mia O'Brien said with us yesterday. Our guest covers the Jags, and this is his most recent stint as a Jacksonville Jaguar was last season. He had about 7 starts, I want to say. Had a mixed bag. The team was a dumpster fire around him. And I do think we need to have some context when we talk about, you know, guys that are busts or anything. Like, we all thought that, you know, Sam Darnold was a bust. He's cooked. It's over with. And some people might still feel that way, but look what competent head coaching and skill position players around the quarterback look like. He looked incredible last year when he had Justin Jefferson, when he had Jordan Addison, when he had T.J. Hockenson, when he had Kevin O'Connell as the head coach. And I think very highly of Kyle Shanahan. That being said, I wish I had, you know, a Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson right now in the 49ers. That would be nice. That being said, Mia O'Brien, ESPN Radio, says Mac Jones, he's going to be just fine for the 49ers.
Whatever it is, the reason I believe it'll work and the reason that I believe that Kyle Shanahan first did consider taking Mac Jones with that 3rd overall pick is because he is every other quarterback that has had success in this Shanahan system. He will do exactly what you ask him to do. If anything, and again, I don't have this from the horse's mouth, but from comments that were made, I think that Doug Peterson felt more comfortable with Mac Jones later in the season because Mac Jones did exactly what he asked him to do. And Trevor Lawrence wanted to have more of a conversation of like, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. And Doug and Press Taylor were like, no, we want to do this.
So Mac Jones played within the offense better than Trevor Lawrence last year. By the way, Trevor Lawrence, we'll see with him. I was very high on Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out.
Everyone was.
Like, he was the next Andrew Luck. He was
number one. Yeah, he was the number one pick as a freshman.
Exactly. And I mean, I know they won in week one, but he didn't really look amazing in that game either. A lot of question marks around him, Leon Cohen, that whole team, and the Niners are going to be facing him in a couple weeks. And will Mac Jones be the quarterback at that time? That would be very fascinating. A revenge scenario potentially for Mac Jones there. So a lot to get to there. We got our guy though, Jermaine Wiggins joining us now, courtesy of the River Islands guest line on the Morning Roast, Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Shasky this morning. And Jermaine, obviously host with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI in Boston, our Odyssey sister station, former Patriots tight end and Super Bowl champion. Jermaine, good morning. Let's bring you right into this conversation we're having because Brock Purdy is out this week and Mac Jones is in. Who the hell is Mac Jones? Who is this guy? Who are we getting? Are we getting that first-year Mac Jones who looked incredible, or are we getting last year's Mac Jones who did not look very incredible? Good morning, Jermaine.
Good morning. Well, I would say this. I would think that you would be getting the good Mac Jones, right? Because if everybody tells me that Kyle Shanahan is the offensive whisperer who can make any quarterback look good, so I would think that you'd be getting the rookie Mac Jones that we saw back here with the Patriots in 2021. But then again, I mean, that's not much. It's not like he's going to get you to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be interesting to see what Shanahan could actually do with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of question we want to know is, like, do you think that Mac Jones is a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan can win with?
I think Kyle Shanahan has proven that he can win with, like, Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is way better. I think Brock Purdy, that was the biggest thing that I was thinking about. I was watching that San Francisco game, and at a point in time, I was like, wait a second, you paid this guy almost $250 million or whatever it was, and I think at that point in time, he had maybe thrown an interception, and the one that the touchdown that the kid caught in the end zone, I was like, well, that was pure luck. I wonder if Shanahan can actually do something with Mac Jones, because he wasn't very good when he was here in New England.
Talking about Jermaine Wiggins here on the Morning Roast, host of the Greg Hill Show on WEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end, Mac Jones making the start this week in New Orleans. And why didn't it work out with Mac in New England? Because we mentioned that rookie year, it started off so incredible. Was it as simple as, you know, Josh McDaniels, the then OC, left to become the Raiders head coach, and then the wheels fell off the entire team, Jermaine?
Well, I think part of it was you, Bill, and we all love Bill over here, but Bill did something dumb, which is he made a guy who had never been an offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, an offensive coordinator who was a defensive coordinator. So that honestly, that didn't help Mac, but Mac wasn't very good. I mean, he made a lot of bad decisions. He had no mobility, so he wasn't very good. Now, granted, there wasn't a ton of talent that he had to work with, but he just wasn't good enough to elevate guys. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that he didn't have that. He just didn't have that it factor. And I think that's been the struggle with his career. When he went to Jacksonville and got his opportunity down there, he wasn't very good. And I don't think he's going to be very good in San Francisco. I mean, you think about San Francisco, you're going to be without George Kittle. I'm not even sure what's the situation with Jennings. Isn't he banged up?
Well, that's not it. He avoided significant shoulder injury, but he hasn't been practicing, so he might miss this week. Hey, but Jermaine, they still got Christian McCaffrey. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when McCaffrey's healthy, he's unbelievable. But the problem with him, the guy can never stay healthy. You know, other than Ricky Purcell, you really have one player on offense, and everybody loves McCaffrey. Listen, I would have took him when he was leaving, when Carolina traded him. I wanted him in New England, but the guy can never stay healthy. And so I think it's really going to be a challenge for Shanahan, who had very high expectations with this team going into the season. And now that Purdy's out and Mac Jones is the guy, and who knows how long he's going to be the guy for. It's going to be very interesting to see. I would say this, Shanahan's going to have to earn his keep, and he's going to have to earn his money when it comes to winning with Mac Jones at quarterback.
Jermaine, I want to ask you this, because you're a former player. We have a lot of fans right now very frustrated and quite frankly exhausted with Kyle Shanahan because of the amount of injuries that this team sustains year in and year out. I know Warren Sharp, I don't know if you know him, but he's a tapped in analytics guy. The Niners are the number one most injured team last year. They've been in like the top 10 or top 5 in like 6 of the last 7 seasons. They get hurt a lot, and fans are starting to get frustrated, whether it's Kittle, whether it's, you know, Jennings, now Brock Purdy. Like, they're blaming the head coach. Is that fair?
I don't think that's necessarily fair. I mean, when you start to look at the injuries, and you know, you look at, you know, Kittle, for example, hamstring injury. I don't know how you put that on Shanahan. I don't know how he runs his training camps. I mean, I came up in an era where we used to have real two-a-days every single day, and you know, it was hitting, and it was a lot of running and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, guys weren't getting hurt all the time. I think, you know what it is? I think with the San Francisco guys, those guys are they're built too much. They're built like Greek gods, and every one of them shredded up. And I feel like every time I see somebody who's shredded up, they're always getting hurt. Maybe they need a, you know, when I played, I didn't have the best body in the world. Maybe they need a, you know, Kittle might have to, I know he does the Little Caesar pizza commercials, but maybe start eating some more pizza, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you bring – okay, I like that training method there. Maybe I should try that too. But, I mean, Jermaine, yeah, you mentioned that you guys used to have the two-a-days. You're hitting everyone, and you still didn't have as many injuries. Obviously, there's the physical aspect where you go, guys had the not-as-chiseled bodies. But I don't know, if you were ever able to get down to training camp now for the Patriots in the last few years – if when you do get down there, what are they doing differently at practice these days, NFL teams, that is the most noticeable difference from when you were a player doing your two-a-days once upon a time?
I would say that was just playing on the pizza thing. That, you know, don't
hey, we
do
love
that,
pizza, though, so
not mad at it.
Yeah, we love pizza, but I would say that I think the biggest thing is that they don't hit as much. They don't tackle as much. That's why you see there's a lot of sloppy tackling. There's a lot of missed tackles. But I also think, and I don't know what it is, like, you know, I'm no sports scientist or strength and conditioning coach. I feel like that, like, nowadays, the game does take care of you physically, right? So you're not pounding as much. You're not running as much. So you're not, you know, getting some of those, like, soft tissue injuries that you see George Kittle have. I think, you know, when you look at Christian McCaffrey, he's got the calf injury. So, like, some of those things that, you know, those injuries come when you're physically tired because you've been running a lot, but you're still trying to push yourself 100 miles an hour. And in today's game, they don't do that as much. So, you know, I would think that it would help you, but maybe all of that stuff that we did back in the day, and this is, you know, people would say, like, all that hitting and pounding and pushing yourself through, maybe that helped you from getting hurt. I don't know, but I would think, I tell you what, if I could go back and play, I would much rather play in today's era than in the era I played in, just because of all the hitting and banging that you don't, that we had to do, that you don't have to do as much now.
Yeah, no, getting tackled or tackling in practice is not as fun as the games. Jermaine, you mentioned a little while ago that, you know, Mac doesn't really have the mobility that, you know, you see in a lot of quarterbacks these days. One of Brock Purdy's greatest attributes is his ability to use his legs when a play breaks down to extend it and make a play downfield. 49ers offensive line, it's a little shaky right now. If the 49ers offensive line can't really protect Mac on Sunday and Mac does have to use his legs, what's that game going to start to look like for the 49ers in that situation?
I'm going to say this. There'll be a lot of people in the Bay Area that'll be throwing their remotes at their television because, you know, Mac is, he can't move back there. When he runs, it looks like he's dragging a piano behind his back. So there'll be a lot of mad 49er fans in that Bay Area throwing their remotes at the television because he just doesn't have that. Not only is he not, like, you know, athletic enough to kind of get out of stuff, you got to have a good pocket presence, and he just doesn't have that. So, you know, you put those two things together and he basically becomes a statue back there. And, you know, you could tee off on guys like that. But, you know, I guess luckily the 49ers are playing New Orleans. So, you know, you got a game that you can, I know it's in New Orleans, but you got a game that you should be able to win. But it's really about Kyle Shanahan. Now, when's he going to, I guess I would ask the question for all the 49er people out there. When is he going to get over that hump? Everybody talks about him being a great coach. But when do you get over that hump and show that you can actually win a championship?
I mean, he's gotten close, Jermaine. I mean, he just ran into one of the greatest.
Coach only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, but I hear you. But he's never had the best quarterback in those matchups, right? He's never had the best quarterback. I mean, Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer, and so is Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes it happens.
But I mean, you brought up the talent, though. You brought up the McCaffreys. You brought up the George Kittle. Like, listen, Nick Bosa. I guess the question becomes, you know, and I know if I know as a fan, I don't want to hear we got close. Like, we're either there winning, and if we get there and lose, like, maybe it's different because we come from, I know it's been a long time, the city of champions, but we celebrate winning championships.
Guys just lost to Geno Smith. Relax, okay? Let's take a step back here. Come on. Drake May, the next gift from God. Come on. Yeah.
Life's a lot easier when you got the GOAT slinging passes for you back in the day, too. You know, Jermaine, it's...
You know, my point, though. That's the thing. We're like, is Drake May even the guy around here? Like, we're questioning that. So I guess that's all I'm saying is, like, if you're a fan, you got to get to the point where it's like, all right, it's time to either ish or get off the pot. And with Shanahan, you've had a lot of talent, and I know it has to be I'm frustrated here in New England, and I know we're nowhere near close to being where we need to be.
Talk with Jermaine Wiggins here, Greg Hill Show on WEI Boston for Patreon. All right, all this negativity. What's the good with Mac Jones? What does Mac Jones do? Well, he's got an arm, right? I saw him at Bama. He could sling it.
Yeah, I think at Bama's a little different, though. Right?
I know.
When you're Bama in the SEC and your team's loaded with Devontae Smith and, you know, think about all the talented players.
Judy, Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, I know he didn't play with him, but just think about all the talent. I mean, it's pretty – look at all the Bama quarterbacks that slung the football around, but when they get to the NFL, it's just a different breed because you're going to have to be in a position where, okay, can you go out there and can you make good decisions? Can you be able to deal with whatever adversity comes? And that's why I think, you know, and I'll give Shanahan credit. I ain't gonna knock him, right? I mean,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's able to get to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. He was able to basically get Brock Purdy paid. So now you're going to really see, can you do it with a kid like Mac Jones? I think it's difficult because he didn't show much here in New England other than his rookie year. But Shanahan has proven that he can, you know, make something out of nothing when you talk about quarterbacks and you talk about offense.
Jermaine, I got there's a lot of fans out here who are optimistic that Mac's actually going to be under center, but I'm kind of curious, when it comes to the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, how big of a drop-off do you think it is?
I would say, and listen, I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I've seen him play and whatever, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. Is he worth that type of money? But I would say it's a massive drop off, right? Because if you look at the success, and you know you can't knock the kid Brock Purdy. You look at the success that he's had, and now you look at Mac Jones, and you're going from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. It's a major, major drop off. So I mean, I understand the being optimistic and having that because of Shanahan, but you know, here you're getting a guy that hasn't really shown much success in the NFL. And if you're a team like San Francisco, like in New England, our expectations are low. Like if we can win 7 or 8 games, maybe 9, great. But I know out there in Frisco, I know you guys are out there looking at it like, shoot, you know, we're expecting big things. So I it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan is able to get things going with Mac Jones at quarterback.
It's funny you say that, Jermaine. We appreciate your time this morning. Actually, it was very, like, Niner fans are very down heading into this season. They were saying, if we could win 10 games and sneak into the playoffs, that would be great. So stock right now, the Niners kind of down, but if they could win this week, if they can step up with Brock Purdy being down, I think that would boost their confidence for sure. Hey, Jermaine, great stuff this morning. We really appreciate it, man, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Jermaine.
Jermaine Wiggins, Greg Hill Show, WEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end. I couldn't let him, you know, poo-poo our guy Kyle Shanahan like that. They would kill in Boston for a guy like Kyle Shanahan.
Like, Niner fans poo-poo Kyle Shanahan that way all the time. Why can't he do it?
He seems to think that, like, the expectations are, like, massive this year, and that's why I was like, it's not that. It's not Super Bowl or bust. That's not how fans are viewing it this season. I think it was more of a frustration, and I am kind of glad he kind of talked about it as a former player, Sam. He's like, yeah, it might just be unlucky. Like, it's not like George Kittle, the hamstring, that soft tissue, Christian McCaffrey, same thing. But I do think it's just a frustration overall from the fan base of not getting it done. That's why we point the finger, right?
Yeah, well, there has to be a reason for everything. And when the Niners don't win, it's because Kyle Shanahan is doing XYZ to get players not prepared or scheming guys wrong, or he's tightening up, or he's getting guys injured. There always has to be a boogeyman, even if we have to create one on our own. And I thought it was interesting, you know, in regards to the practice differences, where, you know, Jermaine talks about how back in the day they were hitting more, the practices were longer, yet there weren't as many injuries. And it's almost like, you know, when you have the intensity in the practice, you know, the games become easier. You know, the practices are supposed to be harder than the games. That's how it's always supposed to be. And that's what makes the games, you know, doable for these players. And I do kind of wonder if in this new age of the NFL, where there's all these new rules over how long you can practice, you know, how intense you can practice, how much you can hit in practice. It's easy to think just the lack of intensity in practice. Does that make the games maybe harder than the practices? And that's kind of what leads to some of these injuries. That's just the theory. I'm not stating that as a fact, but based off what Jermaine is saying, that and the fact that everyone's too chiseled, I thought that was an interesting take too. But I don't think that's that crazy of a thought either, because when you're that muscular, when you're that built as some of these guys are, ligaments still stay the same. Mm. Muscles will get bigger. Ligaments are forever, though, until they're not. Those don't get bigger. That's why you have to keep them stretched out and loose, because if there's these ligaments can only handle so much power. Mm. And if you overdo them, they're going to give out. That's just the simple fact of it.
Another thing he said there was fascinating for me, and I wonder where Niner fans are at on this. 888-957-9570, same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. He said the drop-off from Purdy to Mac Jones is massive.
And that's on a quarterback, Brock Purdy, who he's already not very high on.
He said it's a massive drop-off from Purdy to Jones. And I got to disagree with my guy. I got to disagree with the Super Bowl champion, a guy that played in the NFL, Jermaine Wiggins. I do not think the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones is massive. Is there a gap? Yes. How significant is that gap? Niner fans, I'd like to ask you that right now. 888-957-9570. The gap from Purdy to Jones, significant, small? What say you? Oreo Cookie, Oakland, joining the conversation now. What's up, Oreo?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Friday. You guys sound great this morning. But as far as Mac Jones go, you know, guys, we got to go with what we know, and that's Kyle Shanahan, and that's Fala, our defensive coordinator. Those guys are going to keep us in the game. What we need for Mac Jones is to not drop the ball, be a game manager, same as Purdy. I don't think it's much of a drop-off. Mac Jones definitely has some skills. He's a first-rounder. So with Kyle, he's the quarterback whisperer, so I think he can get it done. And before I go, I do want to say 281-330-8004, Mac Jones. Who?
Love that. Who? We got to come back with that. Like at some point today.
That's
maybe
why...
to the crossover we do that.
Ooh,
that's...
I like that.
Mac Jones, Mac Jones again.
He asked me to cut it prior to getting on the phone. I love the guy.
Is why Oreo Cookie is one of our elite roasters.
By the way, that song's going to be bumping in the locker room if they win. And Mac Jones looks good on Sunday. I'm just letting you know. They're absolutely bumping that. 888-957-9570. Jermaine Wiggins saying the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones is massive. Do you agree? Disagree? How big of a drop-off is it from a quarterback perspective there? No Kittle, potentially no Juwan. Kendrick Bourne, he's back. He's got a repertoire with Mac Jones. He's obviously familiar with Shanahan's system. He started his career here. You got Christian McCaffrey. You got Brian Robinson. You have some pieces. And how is that offensive line going to look this Sunday? It's all coming down to the quarterback, of course. But I'll say this. If you have a defensive performance like you had last week in Seattle, you're winning this game.
Oh, you're set. Yeah.
You're good.
We haven't even talked about the defense.
Like Robert Saleh.
He might be more important.
13 points, Sam. That's all he allowed. 13.
He might be more important than Mac Jones this week. You talk about the drop-off here. Listen, I like what Mia O'Brien said yesterday, that Mac Jones is every quarterback that has had success in Kyle Shanahan's system. I do agree with that. I do think that Mac Jones can hit the necessities of running the Kyle Shanahan offense. Is it crazy to say that he could probably win in the same way that Jimmy Garoppolo was able to win with this team? Like, I think that Mac is probably more closer to a Jimmy type than a Brock type.
I think that's fair.
Because yeah. Brock, you know, for whatever people want to say on how limited he is as a quarterback, blah, 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 I'm not here for that stuff. Brock can make plays when he needs to. Like, when he has to kind of, you know, improvise on the spot, use his legs a little bit, get creative, use his mind. Brock is very, very good at doing that. I do think Mac Jones can make the throws that Kyle Shanahan wants him to make. He can run the plays that Kyle Shanahan wants him to run. We have Greg Cosell's kind of talk about how, you know, if you could just scheme the receiver to be open where he needs to be, if you can get Ricky Pearsall to be open where he needs to be, Mac will hit him in stride and, you know, operate this offense correctly. The drop-off, I think it's going to come from those moments where if the play does start to break down, if you do kind of have to go outside of what the play was intended and kind of improvise a little bit, that's where I think the drop-off is going to be the most noticeable. And I asked Jermaine, that's why I asked Jermaine Wiggins about the offensive line. If the offensive line is struggling to protect Mac, I think we might be in for a rough day for this 49ers offense, because if he has to be the guy kind of running around using his legs and making plays on his own to make this offense go, that might not be a recipe for success. But if the defense is controlling the game, if the running game for the 49ers is chewing up the Saints defense, and if the offensive line creates a situation where Mac doesn't have to go crazy making plays, then yeah, it's going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy on Sunday.
I do think the defense is going to set the offense up a lot in this game, and that's going to make it a lot easier for Mac Jones. 888-957-9570 is the number. How big of a drop-off is it from Purdy to Jones. We'll get into your calls on the other side. Brendan in the city, I see you. Same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And that leads us to the injury report. All right, so we know about George Kittle and Brock Purdy. They're not going to be suited up this Sunday. What about Juwan Jennings? Juwan has not practiced this week as he deals with a shoulder injury, but the 49ers have not made an official decision yet regarding his status for Sunday, currently listed as questionable on the 49ers injury report. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, halfway home here on a payday Friday. Speak now or forever hold your peace on the Niners-Saints matchup this Sunday, 10 o'clock. We've got former quarterback for the Saints and currently their pre- and post-game host on the radio network down in New Orleans, WWL 105.3, Bobby A. Bear, the Cajun Cannon, joining us at 8:30. Plus, we've got crossover, the first iteration of the Friday crossover with Steiny and Goo coming up at 9:48. All of that, but more importantly, your calls next. The drop-off from Purdy to Jones is what, Niner fans, on 95.7 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.